All right. You're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we're very happy to be joined today by Sue Bolton, who is a Marrabeck councillor and is actually also a member of Social Alliance and an activist who is currently involved in organising the upcoming National Day of Action for Housing, which is going to be taking place next Saturday. So, yeah, we thought we'd have Sue on the program to actually talk a bit about this upcoming National Day of Housing and, I guess, why people should support it. So, good morning, Sue.
Hi, how's it going?
So I guess one thing to kind of start, I mean, to start off is, I mean, obviously probably what I'm going to ask sort of is sort of like common sort of knowledge, but I guess I want to hear some brief comments from you about, you know, what has been the kind of impacts of the housing crisis? Because while the media has also, while the media has kind of been dominated by news around, around Palestine and other kind of very important issues as well. But I guess one of the things is the housing crisis, which was actually a big feature of politics in like the past year, has almost not necessarily been reported on as much. And I guess that's why this rally is going to be quite important next Saturday. So I want to hear about some of your brief comments about the impacts on the housing crisis for working people.
Well, I think it just keeps going from disastrous to more disastrous. I think there are still stories in the media about, you know, people who are full-time workers, people who never would have been homeless 10 or 20 years ago, who are homeless or buying a van because they can't find housing that's affordable, and lots of stories of people who are having their rent increased not by $5 or $10 a week, but $100 a week in one hit, and there's still no rent capping, nothing to stop landlords profit gouging. A lot of landlords are increasing rent way above inflation just because they can get away with it. And that is absolutely criminal. It's really critical that we do something about this whole issue, especially of rent capping. But then also we've got governments around the country being led by Victoria, which are basically trying to destroy public housing, which will make the situation so much worse.
Sue, I'll just interrupt you there because that's going into sort of the kind of next kind of question.
Yeah.
I guess one of the big focuses of this National Day of Action in Melbourne, at least in Melbourne, is that we're seeing one of the biggest attacks on public housing right now in our state. It was sort of like the last kind of announcement by our former Premier, Daniel Andrews, before he passed on the baton to Jacinta Allen. And this sell-off is going to involve, you know, the destruction of more than 42 or 44 public housing estates by the Victorian Labor government. I guess, what can you tell us about that and in greater detail as a background for our listeners? And I guess, make it in terms of the biggest sort of motivation on why people should attend the National Day of Action next Saturday?
Well, I think this is critical because I think this is a death knell to public housing if the government gets away with this. So basically, the announcement by Daniel Andrews just before leaving, resigning as Premier, was that the government is going to demolish all 44 high-rise public housing estates. So this includes the flats in Flemington, flats in Collingwood, flats in North Melbourne, but there are also some flats in St Kilda and Footscray and Brunswick and elsewhere, but they're mostly in the inner city areas, Fitzroy, Collingwood, Richmond, Flemington, Kensington, North Melbourne. There are 44 huge estates. So everyone in those estates will be forced out of their homes. Some have been in their homes for many, many years, and they're elderly people there who've lived there for decades. This is their home. This is their community. This is where they've got all their social supports and so forth. So it will be massively dislocating. It will, well, in the case of elderly people, it actually has an impact on people's memory and so forth, laying down new memories in new places. It can. There is some research which indicates that forcible relocation can take years off someone's life. And so currently what's happening is Homes Victoria is going around bullying people to indicate that, to try and give people the impression they've got no choice, they just have to leave. But we had a meeting with tenants in the Flemington estate last Saturday, and where they voted, they clearly, people did not want to leave. Some were feeling like they were being bullied and harassed into agreeing to leave, and some feeling that they've been given no choice but to leave. But they voted against, unanimously against being forced to leave, against the demolition of the estates, and they want to save their homes, save the estates. So we've got the beginnings of a fight back. But we need the whole community to come together to support the tenants so that they can withstand the bullying from Homes Victoria and so that they can feel supported in their decisions to fight for their homes. And that's really, that's one of the key reasons why we want absolutely everybody to come to our Housing National Day of Action on Saturday the 9th of December, which will be at 1 o'clock at State Library. So yeah, I'd really encourage people to come because we actually need to fight this. And the government is trying to create the impression that all of these high-rise towers are past their use-by date. That's the language they're using. And so some people are just accepting, oh, okay, there's nothing that can be done. And sure, there are maintenance issues and so forth with the towers, but there is another way, and there are architects in Melbourne and architects in France who've demonstrated that there are other ways of doing things. And some architects in France who've refurbished high-rise towers instead and persuaded the government there not to demolish them. But these are public housing estates, high-rise public housing estates. What they've been doing is refurbishing a flat at a time so that people just have to move out for a few days while their flat is being refurbished. And they've even done things like added balconies and really made flats light and airy. So they've, you know, refurbished and, you know, kept the flats in, you know, and they've been able to keep the flats, keep the communities together and, you know, do some renovations for the flats. So that's really the alternative we want to see, where if flats need to be refurbished, they just get that individual flat gets refurbished, or maybe a floor might get refurbished, but not the entire estate demolished. So if just a floor is refurbished, then it might take a couple of months or 3 months or something, not, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. And we know that the estates will be, we know that the estates are going to be turned into majority private housing after the redevelopment. So then it's not, and there's no guarantee it will be public housing. So what they're guaranteeing is a third of the dwellings will be social housing, but the government has still not committed to saying that it will be public housing. It's unclear whether it will be public housing or community housing, especially when the government is trying to bully the existing tenants of high-rise flats into accepting community housing when people don't have the same rights.
Yeah, so actually I wanted to, I wanted to kind of ask a bit about that, because I guess one of the important parts around this rally and this campaign is about putting this kind of question of public housing on the map, because one of the thing, one of the justifications that the Labor government is giving for this refurbishment, and I guess is that, you know, they're basically sort of trying to, you know, you've mentioned kind of all the arguments, but I guess how can we kind of, why is it kind of important to support genuine public housing? Why is public housing better than, say, what this new term is, which is community housing? And of course, there's also, they've also been trying to use the term social housing. Now, the thing about social housing is, you know, it's one of those tricky terms, because social housing, technically, if you're going to its basic sort of definition, encompasses both public housing and community housing. But the problem is, when the government is taught using the term social housing, in reality, it's sort of like they're saying, when they're saying, yes, we're announcing the building of 20,000 new social housing estates, what they actually mean is, well, 80% or 90% of those are going to be community housing and 10% is going to be public housing. Like, so why do you think it's very important that, you know, the campaign needs to fight for genuine 100% public housing?
I think it's very important because if it's public housing, then it's owned by the government. It's not in the hands of a private organisation, whether it's a community housing association or a private developer. If it's public housing, it's publicly owned. And we need to fight for it to continue to be publicly managed, because that's one of the things governments are trying to do, is get rid of public management of public housing. But to go back to your central point, people have less rights in community housing. Community housing is, you know, like nowadays, a lot of community housing associations treat tenants not much different to what private landlords do. But there are also some important rights you have in public housing that you don't have in community housing. To begin with, you pay 30% of your income in rent in community housing, compared with 25% of your income in rent in public housing. You have to pay for your own accessibility modifications, so that if you're if you end up in a wheelchair or having some, needing some, or even just elderly and needing, you know, those sort of handrails and modifications to your shower and that kind of thing, in public housing, that's paid for by the government. In community housing, you have to pay for that yourself. And so there are some terrible stories of people who haven't been able to walk upstairs to their kitchen or do certain things, who've been living in terrible circumstances because they've got an accessibility requirement and they can't afford to pay for accessible disability modifications themselves in community housing. In community housing, you can be, well, firstly, community housing accepts very few vulnerable people. They prefer people who are working full-time or part-time, who can pay a higher amount of rent, including market rent. So they tend to house very few people who are vulnerable, such as people who've recently been homeless or living on the street or in their cars. They house very few people on Centrelink payments. And they house pretty much no one who's on a youth allowance payment. And that's because they want to get, they need, their funding model is that that they need to get a reasonable proportion of people paying market rent. So they don't house according to needs. They get to pick and choose who they'll house. And so sometimes people who do have some challenging behaviours or mental illness issues are not housed by community housing. And so, whereas in public housing, they can't discriminate about who they house, community housing can discriminate about who gets housed. And then often community housing, you know, is often no better than public housing in terms of basic maintenance. Yeah, it's definitely a downgrade, and it's not controlled by the government anymore, even though a lot of community housing initially had public housing transferred to them for free initially. And now community housing organisations are amalgamating with each other and becoming bigger and bigger. So they're operating much more like a private business now than when they started off. So it's definitely... the public doesn't have control over community housing once it's set up. We want public housing. That's the only guarantee that you can have it as public housing in perpetuity, is if it remains as public housing.
All right. Well, I want to hear a bit about the... we might finish off by hearing about the details for the National Day of Action in Melbourne, but I guess... one other sort of demand that the rally is sort of doing in terms of trying to bring together all the, what I guess I want to kind of hear, you know, for, especially for renters, you know, why is it important for people who are renters or mortgage holders to actually support saving public housing? Because ultimately this is a rally that's trying to unite all the people that are impacted by the housing crisis.
Well, I think we need a whole of community response to save public housing, and it has an impact on everything else. Like, the more public housing they get rid of, the more people are reliant on either saving to buy housing or reliant on the private rental market. Having a large amount of public housing actually starts to force prices of housing down, and would make it harder for landlords in the private sector to just keep jacking up the rent. But to do that, we need not only to save the existing public housing, but we need to extend the public housing. So there is an old slogan about defending and extending public housing. This is a social good. We need to rapidly expand the amount that the government pays for to build public housing, to try and restrict private landlords in being able to increase their rents and restrict the ever-escalating cost of buying housing. And I think a large amount of public housing puts a lid on prices in the private market. And the key reason why we've got the housing crisis that we've got is because governments all over Australia have been following the neoliberal model and selling off public housing, selling off massive amounts of public housing. So that's really why we're in the housing crisis we're in. At a certain point in time, it was probably in the 1980s when neoliberalism became the vogue, that governments decided to stop providing services and sell them off to the private market. And for certain things that they thought the public wouldn't accept a direct sell-off, such as public housing or job providers or certain sorts of things, they decided to do this tricky way of transferring them to not-for-profit providers. And hence we've got these, you know, private job providers that do nothing and treat people terribly, but we've also got housing associations that are also supposedly not-for-profit and in most cases treat tenants really badly. So, and that's what's brought us such a huge crisis with the cost of housing in the private market. They decide to leave people to the victims of the private market. So Australia, even if you include community housing, Australia has less than 4% or only around 4% social housing. Victoria has got only around 2% public housing now, whereas it used to be much, much higher. It used to be over 10% 20 years ago or so, before before this process started. And so that is the real cause of our housing crisis, and that's what we've got to reverse. And the governments don't want to reverse that because they're still in the privatisation mode of governments getting out of providing direct government services. And so we can see privatisation all over the place, including nibbling away at our public hospital system. So that's what the government's focused on. But we actually need to fight back and say privatisation is wrong. It leaves people vulnerable, and that's what's caused the housing crisis. You can't have... housing will never be affordable while it's just left to the capitalist market, where developers can land bank and landlords can just have total free will to increase and rents as high as they like.
Well, thanks for that, Sue. Just one last... just could you give us details about the upcoming National Day of Action?
So we've got a rally on the 9th, Saturday the 9th of December, so not tomorrow but the following Saturday. It's at 1 o'clock at State Library. And if anyone listening is able to help with doing some leafleting, doing some publicity, poster runs, please, please contact us. It's being organised by the Safe Public Housing Collective in Melbourne, and I'm part of that collective. Actually, Jacob, the presenter, is also part of that collective as well. And we're really at the early stages, but the three estates that are first on the target list to go are two estates in Flemington and one North Melbourne estate. So, people on the estates are terrified about their future, about what's going to happen to them, and they really want support to save the public housing estates, save the high-rise flats. So please let us know if you can help us out with any last-minute publicity, poster runs, leafleting, or if you want us to email you or social media, you the details, the advertising for the rally.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sue. And yeah, just want to make a plug that, yeah, I think people should definitely attend the National Day of Action for Public Housing. And yeah, thank you, Sue, for being on our program.
And maybe people can contact Green Left Radio if you can help with doing any publicity for the Day of Action. That would be really appreciated.
All right. Thanks for that, Sue.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, we're just speaking to Sue Bolton, Marybeck councillor and activist with Save Public Housing. I'm just going to go play a quick announcement and we might go on to our first song for the program. You're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM.